as we come here this morning, we are aware of the needs that we have, that we bring with us today. It might be sickness for ourselves or others. It might be some other worry that we come to church with today. And sometimes we think, well, we just need to put that to one side and come to church to worship. But what I say to you this morning is, we don't put it to one side. We actually bring it and we give it right to Jesus. We don't forget about it. We give it to the Lord this morning. And in our service today, we're going to be hearing about Jesus, our healer. So I'm sure the word that we'll hear today and all that we'll share together will speak into the needs that we bring today. So let us welcome Jesus, King of Kings. And if the children want to wave flags during our two worship songs, feel free, or any adults as well. Let's worship the Lord.
Shall we pray together as we remain standing? Father, you bring us life. Thank you that we can be here today. Thank you that we can come to worship you. We can come to celebrate your victory. And Father, thank you for the joy that that brings, even in the midst of trouble, or whatever we're going through. We can still celebrate the victory you have on the cross. So Father, we thank you for one another. We thank you for this family here. And Father, we give this hour to you now as we praise and we worship your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And in our service this morning, we're going to see what that freedom looks like. Freedom from fear. Freedom of the fear of what others might be thinking about us. That's our starting point today. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen that I'd like you to have a look at. Nearly there. There we are. Okay, this picture is in the school playground. The girl on the left is whispering in the ear of her friend something about the boy in the middle there. And he looks quite sad, so we know it's not something very nice that the girls are talking about. So what I'd like you to do in twos or threes, where you are, using your imagination or your real personal experience, imagine what might the girls be saying about the boy and why. Why would they be saying it? And how might the boy be feeling? Okay, so what might the girls be saying to each other, and why, and how might that make the boy feel? So just have a minute or so just to talk to your neighbor and see what you can think of. Okay, we're going to come back together now, and if you'd like to help answer one of those questions, put up your hand and I'll come over with the microphone so we can hear what you say. So first of all, what do you think the girl might be saying to one another. Did you want to say something? Samuel.
First and foremost, I think the young man looked very depressed, and I think he has a feeling that maybe he doesn't belong where he is. And this girl should be trying to talk to the friend. Let the two of them come out with something, either to get to the boy with some help or what?
I don't know. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? What would the children think? What do you think the girls might be saying? Do you have any ideas? Do you want to say?
Joe thought maybe they were planning a prank on him that would get him into trouble.
Oh, right. That happens sometimes, doesn't it, at school? Yes. Anything else? Yeah.
We were saying it'd be nice if they were trying to find a way to include him, but they might be saying that he's strange or different or quiet.
Yeah, that's
right. Keeps to himself.
They could be saying something about his appearance or something about his family, or, you know, something that he did. Or he might be from another country. He might be a new boy. Yeah. So there we've thought about what the girls are saying and how the boy might be feeling. Well, we know this happens in the school playground, but we know that that kind of whispering or gossip or unkindness can happen to anyone, can't it, at any age? It might have happened to you. It happens in the workplace sometimes. People can talk about others around the water cooler. It can, dare I say, even happen in churches. Do you think that's possible? Yes? Yeah? Well, we all want to belong. We all want to fit in, to be part of a group. It's our natural human instinct, isn't it, to attach ourselves to a particular group. And there we find our identity, where we belong. And we know really that, if we're honest, sometimes we're the ones who whisper about others. And sometimes we're the one who's left out. But we know that it shouldn't be like that, should it? We know that our lives and our society should be free from this. We should be free to be ourselves and to let others be. So today we're thinking about freedom from fear of what others are saying about us. But there's another issue in this. We know that today, in this age, through social media, through technology, it seems that there is even more pressure to fit in, to be acceptable to others. This is the age of the selfie and the social network. When I was a boy, the social network was called Outside or Church. But this is the age of the selfie, where body image is everything. Be perfect, look perfect, present yourself as perhaps somebody else. And all of this can drain our self-esteem. Now, some teenagers across the Gloucester region were asked, how does social media make them feel? How does social media make you feel? And we're going to listen to their very honest answers. And perhaps you can identify with some of what they say.
Oh, hello. You must be the gospel writer, Mark.
That's right.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you.
And
who
you?
Are you?
I'm your illustrator. I create pictures. I've got a glossy magazine here of beautiful people to put alongside your stories of Jesus that you're writing down. Can you see?
Right.
So just look at that. Perfect skin, perfect eyes, perfect body. Just the right image to go with that story that you're writing. Your gospel will be the perfect coffee table book.
Are you serious?
Well, yes. Look at him. him. He's beach body ready, he is. Well, we are near the Sea of Galilee, after all, and you've got to look just right. The camera never lies. Anyway, what pictures would you like for me today?
Well, the story that I'm writing today is a very special one. I'm remembering and recording the time that Jesus helped a young girl and a woman.
Okay, right. I'm sure I've got the right pictures for your story in here. Let me see what I can find. First, you need a picture of a lovely girl, maybe a bright face, healthy-looking skin, full of life and happiness and so on. Is that right?
No, no. The girl in this story was very sick. She was very poorly indeed.
Oh, dear. I don't seem to have a picture of a sick girl in my file, I'm afraid.
Well, why doesn't that surprise me?
Well, who else is in this story?
A woman.
A woman. Okay, yes. Jesus did attract women, didn't he? Well, what did she look like? Was she well-dressed, beautiful hair and makeup? Maybe her clothes, maybe white linen? I'm thinking blue or perhaps the colour of, I don't know.
Blood.
Blood? Ooh.
Yes, the woman in this story suffered from serious bleeding. She was an outcast. Nobody wanted to go near her. She was an outsider.
Well, I'm not sure that's exactly front cover material. Why are my pictures not matching your stories?
Well, you see, Jesus was most concerned about real people with real stories and real issues. He had perfect love for imperfect people. So Jesus amazingly healed this woman and raised the little girl. He changed their lives, not their appearance.
Real people with real issues and real stories, you say? Well, where am I going to find images of people like that?
Well, look around you today. There's a whole gallery of such people here today. Okay. Well, that was a little introduction to the Bible story that we're going to hear now. And Katie and Joshua and myself are going to read the story, which comes from Matthew's Gospel. So if you want to stand with Joshua and help him and Katie come up here. Katie's going to play the part of the woman in the story. And Joshua, if you could just stand up so we can see. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. On here? That'd be great. And Joshua's going to play the part of Jairus. And I'm going to be the narrator. So this is a Bible story. And we're going to hear in between the story a monologue from Jairus and from the woman in the story. Today's Bible story is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. As I read it to you, we shall hear from two of those in the story. Let us listen to God's word. Jesus went in the boat back to the other side of the lake. There, a large crowd gathered around him. A ruler from the synagogue named Jairus came to that place. Jairus saw Jesus and bowed before him. The ruler begged Jesus again and again. He said, "My daughter, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her. Then she will be healed and will live." So Jesus went with the ruler, and many people followed Jesus. They were pushing very close around him.
"I am Jairus, and I was desperate. My 12-year-old daughter was dying, and I needed urgent help. I had heard about Jesus and how he cured sick people. I knew that the religious authorities did not trust him, but my daughter was precious to me. So I put my pride aside by throwing myself at his feet and pleading for his help. Jesus started to come over, but the crowd pressed in upon and stopped us getting to my daughter's sick bed. Then suddenly Jesus stopped.
A woman was there who had been bleeding for the past 12 years. She had suffered very much. Many doctors had tried to help her. She had spent all the money she had, but she was not improving. She was getting worse. When the woman heard about Jesus, she followed him with the people and touched his cloak. The woman thought, "If I can even touch his cloak, that will be enough to heal me." When she touched his cloak, the bleeding stopped. She could feel in her body that she was healed. At once, Jesus felt power go out from him. So he stopped and turned around. Then he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The followers said, "There are so many people pushing against you, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus continued looking around to see who had touched him. The woman knew that she was healed. So she came and bowed at Jesus' feet. Shaking with fear, she told him the whole story. Jesus said to the woman, "Dear woman, you are made well because you have believed. Go in peace. You will have no more suffering."
"I didn't mean to delay, Jesus. I fully appreciate the urgency of my father's request. Only I was desperate to. I'd been ill for so long. Jesus was my last hope. I felt courage deep inside him. I reached out to Jesus. I shouldn't have been there, let alone touch
a man,
a rabbi, stretched out my hand and touched his cloak. Immediately, power surged through my body until the bleeding stopped. I was healed. I thought I could creep away unnoticed, but Jesus knew I had touched him. I saw the look of despair in Jairus' face, especially when he was looking in the direction of his home. He glimpsed at a servant obviously bearing bad news. However, Jesus was unfazed. He looked at me knowing what I had done. He smiled. He held out his hand to me. "Daughter," he said gently, "your father has made your faith had made your whole world." He had not only healed me, but he had restored me so that I would no longer have to creep in the shadows.
Jesus was still speaking to her when some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. The men said, "Your daughter is dead. There is now no need to bother the teacher." But Jesus paid no attention to what the men said. He said to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Jesus let only Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, go with him to Jairus' house. They came to the house of the synagogue ruler, and Jesus found many people there crying loudly. There was much confusion. Jesus entered the house and said to the people, "Why are you crying and making so much noise? This child is not dead. She is only asleep." But they only laughed at Jesus. He told all the people to leave. Then he went into the room where the child was. Jesus took the child's father and mother and his three followers into the room with him. Then he took hold of the girl's hand and said to her, "Talitha kum." This means, "Little girl, I tell you to stand up." The girl stood right up and began walking. The father and mother and the followers were amazed. Jesus gave the father and mother strict orders not to tell people about this. Then he told them to give the girl some food.
"I was devastated by the news about my daughter. Just when I thought Jesus might heal her, he'd been delayed and my hopes were dashed. Come with me, said Jesus. Take courage, she is sleeping. By the time we reached my home, morning was in full swing. They laughed at Jesus when he said she was not dead but asleep. She was dead, end of story. Jesus ignored them, preventing anyone from entering the house apart from my wife, myself and this and his three disciples. He approached my daughter's bed, took her by the hand, ignoring the taboo of not touching the dead, and quietly spoke to her. What happened next was amazing. She got up, walked around the room as though refreshed from sleep, and she asked for food. It was a miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And thank you, Katie and Joshua, for reading that so well. Thank you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's here with us this morning, in our midst, in the midst of our difficulties and our need. And so we're going to say, with the woman and with Jairus, I believe in Jesus. There is power to heal, power to forgive. We've got some activity sheets, so if the children and any of their parents would like to come and gather while we continue to think about the story that we have heard, please feel free to. When I visited the Holy Land in 2016 on pilgrimage, I visited a town called Magdala, a very ancient town, a town that was there at the time of Jesus, by the shores of Lake Galilee. And there is a retreat center in Magdala with a building called the Encounter Chapel. And on the wall, right at the back, is a huge painting, a mural showing a scene from today's Bible story. And I want to show you a picture of that mural. First of all, a close-up. Okay, there we are. And I took this photograph of the mural. And the artist shows us a close-up view of ground level. Jesus is passing by. And you can see Jesus' cloak and the tassels on his cloak, his staff. And we can see the sick woman's hand reaching out to touch the hem of his cloak. And that really shows us just how low this woman was. She was down so very low. And that was a symbol of her low self-esteem. She was an outsider. She was an outcast. She was low on friends. She was low on love. And perhaps as you come to church this morning, you can identify with this woman in her need. And the spot of light from where her finger touches the cloak of Jesus shows the power of Jesus leaving him and making her well, making her whole. She comes to Jesus in a very different way from Jairus. Jairus was a man of position and power and confidence who boldly came up to Jesus. But this woman wanted to creep up and receive and disappear in the shadows again. Sometimes we come to church like Jairus with confidence for ourselves or for others. Sometimes we come like this. And perhaps there are many who are not in church today, many who are seeking Jesus, who know their need, who are on the fringe, reaching out to touch the fringe of the church, the fringe of Jesus. But however we come, whether as Jairus or as this woman, the most important thing is that we come to Jesus. And she was healed. She was lifted up and given the courage to tell Jesus the whole story, the whole truth. And sometimes we have to do that. We don't have to hold anything back. We can tell him the whole story, the whole truth. He knows it anyway. We can tell him the whole truth. And so it was that she found real freedom. So Jesus is passing by here this morning. He is passing by in Haverhill. He is passing by in our church today. Will you reach out for him in your need? I want to show you a photograph that I took now of the whole mural in the chapel. You get a sense of the scale. And one of our group kneels and pours out his heart to the Lord. Jesus was right there in that moment for him. And he's right here in this moment. His power to heal is the same. So I invite you today to have courage, to have faith, and to reach out to Jesus. No matter what your need or the need of your loved ones, Jesus is there for you. He is the one you can trust to help. He is our healer. He will touch you with his love today. He will raise you up. And we know it wasn't always about the physical recovery. It was about the mind and the spirit. It was the whole person that Jesus was interested in. And that is how he heals us today. So as we respond to the good news now, we're going to have a prayer exercise using our hands. So just make yourself comfortable and don't worry about the noise around you. Just listen to the words that I will say. So put your hands on your lap and close your eyes. And now I want you to clench your fists very tightly. Clench your fists and feel the pressure in your fingers and hold it for a time. And feel how uncomfortable it is. And let those closed fists remind you of anything negative or harmful in your life. Parts of your life where you feel stress and strain. Any grudges, negative thoughts, or fears that you may be holding on tightly to. Any time you have compared yourself to others and felt inadequate. Any ways you are close to God or to other people. Now begin to very slowly unfurl your fingers and relax your hands until your unclenched hands are resting on your lap, palms upwards. Enjoy the sensation of your relaxed fingers. Your hands are now open. Ask God to open himself to you, to make you open to him. Now stretch out your hand a little further in front of you. Imagine reaching out for Jesus. Get close to him. Your hands are empty. What do you need? Where are you empty or lacking power? As you reach out and touch, the light of Jesus is upon you. You receive his power. He raises you up. You are no longer a slave to fear. He calls you his child. You are a child of God, his son, his daughter. You are set free. Thank him for his love. Lord, we thank you that you minister to us. And as we continue in response and praise, help us to know your freedom. Amen. So you can open your eyes and you can remain seated or you can stand as we sing this song, No Longer Slaves. Let us remember that Jesus came to bring life. Life in all its fullness. And we know that we live in a world where people are still held captive, who long for freedom. And so we think today of those who are reaching out to God, crying out to God, kicking at God's door today. And Sham is going to come and lead us in our prayers for these. Thank you, Sham, for leading us in those prayers. And there's a lot of need, isn't there? A lot of need in our church family at the moment. With that woman in the story, we are a bleeding church. A bleeding church. And we're an honest church as well, and we can share those concerns. And it's so wonderful that we can come to church like that, knowing our need. The need is great, but the grace and love of God are greater. And he will go with us in this week ahead. Yeah. This morning. Just where you are, Trish, if you'd like to share a little bit of your story.
Little tearful this morning. It's quite an emotional service for me. It's a service full of truth, and it's a service where I really feel that God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, is just asking me to share this part of my story. You may probably all know me and probably think, what on earth is this woman going to talk about healing for? Just look at the state of her. And to be truthful, I'm broken in very many ways, and God is continuing to heal me. My daughter went away with some others, and they went to something with some strange name, but where the broken pots were healed and gold was added. And so as you heal mentally, spiritually, physically, you actually become stronger. If you reflect on Job, poor soul, it didn't all happen in a week or a fortnight or even a year. It was decades, because he lost one family, suffered, and then had another family. And so I know we often feel it should be instantaneous and miraculous, but God is always healing. But I want to encourage you all, because though I may not look as if one of God's prime candidates for healing, I can assure you, 2-3 decades ago, I broke my foot, my left foot, and it was a very severe break, but it was a clean break. And so I was on crutches, bumming it up and down the stairs, not able to walk, not able to do very much at all. I was also a mad tambourine player at the time, so that used to cheer me up an awful lot, crutches as well. Had a very dear friend who had supranuclear, it was something equivalent to mad cow disease. And she was dying, and she had a young family. And I was part of a prayer healing ministry, and we all went with the minister to the house to pray. And she lay on the floor in her living room, telling us all to remember just how wonderful Jesus is and how much he loves us all. The end of this is going to be, the end of this is sad, because she died. But during that prayer meeting, my very swollen foot, my very broken foot, began to do very peculiar things. And I was aware of that, and I was aware my foot was shrinking back to normal size. So I cowardly got myself to the toilet, where I dared to put my foot on the ground and still couldn't believe what was happening with my foot. I went back into the main room with my crutches, and the minister said, "Trish, I really think you've got something to say to us." And I, no. And he left it a little while, and a few moments later he said, "Trish, I know you've got something to say to us." And so I told them. And I was still full of fear. The fear of standing on that foot and walking. My belief was it was broken. I had all these feelings going on, but I didn't actually know that the foot was healed. I thought it was, but I didn't actually know it. Anyway, two of the gentlemen in the prayer group, one got either side of me and said, "Right, walk across this room with us now, woman." And I did. And then they let go, and I just kept on walking. When I went back to the hospital 6 weeks later for months and months of physiotherapy and all sorts of other things, the specialist couldn't believe it. He made me do these real strength exercises, pushing and pulling, and he just said, "Oh my God, well, I've no need to see you anymore," and shot off to all the others. There was a lot of people with broken bones. I never did have physiotherapy. And on day 12 of my foot being broken with the x-rays, etc., day 12, I was up and walking again without crutches. We were there praying for my friend's life. She did die, but the inspiration to all those that were there that day was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And I know, no matter what is going on with me now, I know the power of the miraculous healing of our Lord. And I just needed to share it with you because, like I say, you see me, and I'm no prime example of Christ's healing, of God's healing at all. Bless you all. I really do pray myself that the knowledge and the healing I have had will be shared with this church, because I know this church has been praying for revival and things for so long. Thank you for listening to me. God bless.
Thank you very much, Trish, for those words of testimony. Thank you. And God bless you and continue to strengthen you day by day. Before we sing our closing song this morning, just a reminder that we have members of our prayer team here this morning, and that we know this morning we've gone deep into God, and it might be that one or two of you may feel that you would like somebody to pray with you, to help you to get to Jesus, to reach out to Jesus. So please do ask any of our prayer ministry team who are wearing the green lanyards, and they would be more than willing to pray with you. And remember, at the beginning of the service, we spoke about the teenagers and the body image. And I know that Sarah Glasswell has offered, if any of the girls particularly want to speak to Sarah at any time, today or any time, about things that they are struggling with, then Sarah is more than happy to be a listening ear and would be willing to help you and to pray for you. Is on the screen in a moment. Let us say this prayer together. Father God, make me happy to be me, not disappointed that I'm not someone else. Lord Jesus, make me willing to reach out to you. Holy Spirit, make me ready to love those that others forget. Amen. May these gifts and our lives be a channel of love to others. As you go in peace, may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.